stand as you're able to do so. Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last.
By the grace of God, we bear fruit worthy of repentance.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Oh, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The fifth chapter. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the middle of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you that what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 80 responsively with me. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river.
Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it.
Turn again about those, look down from heaven, and see that heaven and earth is mine.
The stock that your right hand planted. The second reading is from Philippians, the third chapter. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, do not consider that I have made it my own, but this is one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
be to Christ. You may be seated. So, you all know that we just had a rummage sale, right? So yesterday I'm at the rummage sale and we have this whole table of board games. And I'm looking through them and there are two board games that caught my eye. One, because I had fond memories of playing this board game as a kid. And the other one, because I also remember playing it as a kid, and I remember as a kid liking it, and I always remember my mom saying, "I'm not playing that game, it's stupid." And as an adult, I've played both of these games with my children, and I love the one, and I have to agree with my mom. That other board game is really stupid. So, this first board game, I have to ask, you guys know this game, don't you? What is it? Candyland. I love this game. I love Candyland. So, if it's been a while since you've played this game, Candyland, here's the premise. You travel along the road and you visit such places as Peanut Brittle House. You might visit the Gumdrop Mountains, and you could get stuck in Molasses Swamp. You get to meet exciting new friends as, and this is a quote, muddle-headed Grandma Nut. Muddle-headed Grandma Nut and warm-hearted Queen Frostine. On the way to Candy Castle, which, I don't know, you get to meet the Candy King. Now, this is an admittedly juvenile game right here. Milton Bradley tells us. Ages four to eight. But as soon as we hit age nine, there is another game that Milton Bradley tells us that we are ready to graduate to. A game, not yet, they're not ready yet, to a more realistic game. See, like Candyland, you also travel along a road. And as you do, you move from early adulthood to getting a job or going to college. You get married, maybe you have some kids, and then, of course, you reach everyone's goal. You reach everyone's goal, which is to... Yes. We reach retirement, and we get boatloads of cash. Oh, that didn't work as... Oh, there we go. Some of them are flittering. All right. To get boatloads of cash. That is the goal of this game. Anyone know the game that I'm talking about? The Game of Life. What a perfect name for this game. The Game of Life. To win the Game of Life, you have to get to millionaire estates. That's right. That's how you win the Game of Life. You have to get here and get this mansion, millionaire estates. You cash out all your insurance policies, your stocks and bonds. You get money for each one of the kids that you've had along the way. For some really weird reason, because nearest I can tell, kids cost money forever and ever and ever. They give you money for the kids. Anyway, weird premise. But then you retire. And if you retire with the most money in the bank, you get this mansion right here. And you get the whole estate with the pond with the ducks in it and the gazebo and this nicely manicured lawn and the statues, and there's even like a deer in the back, okay? You get all that and presumably also all the servants that you're going to need to take care of it. It's all yours. You win at life by literally retiring in style. It's on the board with the most money. So if you are 4 to 8 years old, you get to live in a fantasy land of candy cane forests and lollipop woods. But come 9 years old, literally same game maker, 4 to 8, 9 and up. Come 9, it's time to snap out of that dream world and learn what life is all about. Working really hard and earning lots of money so you can retire as the richest neighbor on the block. And you might be thinking, well, they've got to join this real world sometime, Sean. They can't stay in this fantasy world of gumdrops and frosted cupcakes forever. Now, I would argue that is not entirely true, because the aforementioned molasses swamp, there's a space that you can get stuck in, and you can get stuck in there forever while your brother passes you and makes it to the candy castle first. And I am bitter about it, because it always happens. But I would argue, all right, now here's the thing. We got some kids over here who probably don't want to listen to me yammer for the next 3 hours. Or you, but you don't get to play a game. There you go. Play Candyland. But I would argue that this game of, are you 9? Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not letting you play the game of life because it's terrible. I would argue that this game of life is pretty realistic, isn't it? I mean, at least in its goal. The manner of life that we have constructed as a society, where winners amass wealth, runs counter to the manner of life that our God and our Creator wants for us. So these past 3 weeks, we've encountered 3 parables from the Gospel of Matthew, each one about a vineyard. 2 weeks ago, that really unfair vineyard owner paid the first laborers, you know, the ones that worked through the heat of the day, the agreed upon daily wage, 1 denarius, enough to buy them and their families enough to take care of themselves for one day. But then the vineyard owner, wanting to see everyone else that started work after them, wanting to see those people have enough to buy their daily bread, paid those that had only worked an hour the same so they could get their daily bread. We don't like that. How dare that vineyard owner show mercy and want everyone to eat? And last week, we encountered 2 brothers, and neither of them did what they said they would do, right? That sounds like us. One said that he would go to work in the vineyard, and what did he do? Didn't. And the other one said that no thanks, vineyard work, not for me, but then later on, went. So the brothers who didn't work, who are they? The religious leaders. The brother who did work? The tax collectors and the prostitutes. Now, finally, this week, the laborers of the vineyard we find that they're very consumed by greed. So much so that they are willing to spill blood in exchange for things. And those things, grapes and wine and land, in order to enrich themselves, in order to get that stuff. That worked better that time. First, the tenants kill the slaves that come to collect what is owed, not once, twice. And a third time, the landowner sends his very own son, because surely they won't kill this landowner's son. But this is the way of the world, isn't it? This parable, it should make plenty of sense to us in this world. Blood spilled in exchange for land. It's still happening, right? In Ukraine, that's been happening for about a year and a half. Anyone watch the news this weekend? Anyone watch the news this weekend? Yes. Once again, in Israel and in Gaza, we are exchanging blood for land. Human blood for land. Innocent civilians being murdered, being kidnapped, being held hostage. So why do I connect these parables today, other than that they are all about vineyards? I think that we can read these parables from a perspective of, should I say it? Stewardship. That's right, the S word, stewardship. But I don't want to talk about it in the way of which I ask you to commit a certain amount of your money to me so I can go buy a private jet. That's not the kind of stewardship we're talking about. Stewardship in that we, laborers, sons and daughters, tenants, we are called to care for a vineyard that is not our own. That's what's being asked in each of these last three parables. Stewardship is about tending something that we don't own, but has nevertheless been entrusted to us. In the game of life, I would argue, that terrible game, there is nothing about stewardship. It's a selfish game. Collect this, money. Collect this money that belongs to us so that we can go out and buy other things that will then belong to us. And when we run out of room to store all that stuff, what do? We go rent places to store it. To accumulate money and wealth and property and trot and retire on Millionaire's Row. Is that really what life is all about? I hope not. Is this how we are called to steward God's good creation? Could you imagine what would happen if Milton Bradley made a game that crossed Candyland and the game of life? I thought about this briefly yesterday. You spin the wheel and you land on a space that says, "Congratulations, you lobbied Congress and won logging rights to Lollipop Woods. Guess what? You get $100,000 and no one gets to enjoy Lollipop Woods anymore. Look out, Candy Cane Forest, you're next." But this is what we do. This is how we steward. We have relegated stewardship to how much money am I going to give to the church or to some other organization. And this prevents stewardship from being a way of life, because stewardship is a way of life. And when we do this, when we ignore our call to steward God's good creation, we exploit creation. We use and exploit our resources. We use and exploit animals. Okay, has anyone ever raised a meat chicken? Our neighbor raised a meat chicken. They get so fat so quickly, and they're ugly too. They don't want to walk around. They have been raised and bred to do nothing. Seriously. and if they move too much, their leg will break. This is how we bred animals. We use and exploit people too. See if I get any agreement, nods, or you're maybe like, "No, I don't exploit people." Follow me on this one. I believe that we don't intentionally exploit people. At least I hope. But How do you answer these questions? For each piece of clothing in your closet, in my closet, for each piece of food that we eat, for all the parts that go into our cars, for all the goods that go into our dwelling places, for the people that have been involved from the factory to the farms to the construction sites, have they been given their daily bread? Have they been given their sustenance? Do they have what they need to get by day to day in exchange for their labor? Can they provide for themselves and their families? Do they have health care? Do they have a retirement plan of any kind? Or are they going to have to work until their bodies fail? Kind of like those chickens. Can you definitively say yes to these questions? Or is your answer, like mine, a resounding, how could I possibly know that? And if we're honest, I think that's how we have to answer, because we live in a first world country and we are addicted to buying stuff. I will count myself as one of these, from places like Walmart and Amazon. So I must say that I can't possibly know whether or not I exploit. And the answer is probably yes. I think that's where I am. I benefit. I'm able to buy cheaper clothes and food because others are exploited. Because others might not be getting their daily bread. Because others aren't going to be able to enjoy that comfy retirement on Thousandaires Row, let alone Millionaires Row. Now, question, do I do that on purpose? No, I don't. But a more important and pressing question is there a way for me to opt out of this exploitation? What do you guys think? Do you think we can opt out? The way our society is constructed, I see lots of head shaking back and forth. No. I would argue that we can't opt out. And because we can't opt out, this is what we would call systemic sin. It's sin that society, we as a society, have constructed and participated. This game of life has been constructed in such a way that some of us benefit from the exploitation of others. And you may not agree with this. You may not agree with this. This may be the first time you're hearing about this. Maybe you need to sit with it, and that's okay. But I do think that this is why Martin Luther is so uncomfortable with having to confess every single sin. Because we sin in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone, in ways that we cannot even know. Because we are guilty not just of individual sin, but of corporate and systemic sin. The parables that Jesus preached against the religious leaders these past 3 weeks, well, these same parables might be read as a rebuke against how we, as a society, play this game of life. Do we ever say that we will tend the vineyard and don't show up? Do we labor only for ourselves and hoard the fruits of our labor? Do we quibble over needing more because we have earned it or deserve it when we have already been given our daily bread? Yes, yes, and yes is my answer to those. Through these parables, Jesus is saying, I think, stop trying to win at life and instead be stewards of my creation. This means, of course, to start taking care of the planet and stop profiting off the destruction of lollipop woods. Stop. But it goes well beyond this. It means finding systemic sin, finding injustice, and working against it. And can we eliminate it on our own? No, it's systemic. It's been around since before we were here. We can't do this on our own. But being aware that it exists is a very big first step. And maybe, just maybe, we can make adjustments to how we live. Maybe by shopping less at the places that exploit their workers. Maybe by supporting businesses that pay living wages to their employees and have transparent supply chains. And by that I mean maybe that buy their goods from places that don't employ child laborers. I don't know if my clothes have been made by a 12-year-old. I haven't ever looked. Maybe by rejecting the idea that human blood is a commodity, because we treat human blood as if it is a commodity that can be spilled at the whims of the ruling class. Now, if we do these things, is this how we win at the game of life? No. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us today, whatever gains I have had, he tells us all the things that he has done to be a good, you know, Jew, I guess. But he says, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. So we can go try to do all these things, and we should try to do all these things, not because we ought to, but because we're freed to do them. And how are we freed to do them? We are freed to do them because of Jesus Christ. Because you see, we have already won the game of life. We have already won at life. We have been gifted this good creation and asked to steward it by the God that created this good creation. In exchange for this, we have been given our daily bread, and that's all we need, our daily bread. Nothing more, nothing less. Sustenance. That is the promise to the laborers in the vineyard, isn't it? They will receive their daily bread. In exchange, the vineyard owner asks them to be good stewards. The vineyard owner, even after his son was killed, invited more tenants to steward this land, to bear fruit, and we will be sustained. We will be given our daily bread. And even if we say no to tending the vineyard, guess what? Even if we say no, there is always a chance that we can repent and turn back. That was last week's parable, right? And what awaits us there is not only our daily bread, but our inheritance. Not a mansion, not stocks and bonds. As God's children, our inheritance instead is what? Eternal life. We are given this inheritance. We are given daily bread, and our grateful response must be, how can we respond in any other way than to bear fruits of the kingdom? To steward God's creation. To work towards a future where blood isn't exchanged for land. What a gift. What a gift our God has given us by inviting us into this life of stewardship through the death of God's very own Son, Jesus Christ. It is a gift. This life is a gift. And we are asked by our Creator to be God's stewards. And it is for this gift that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Lydia, can you pick up the bunny?
Thank you.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father
Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Trusting in the transformative power of God's loving Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
God of all creation, you plant and nourish the earth as your own precious vineyard. Bless fields and orchards in the hands of those who labor in them, that your people are fed with an abundant harvest of good fruit. Be with the farmers of Ohio and beyond, as we enter the season of harvest, that they be kept safe, that it is bountiful and provides daily bread for all your people. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all grace, you are the source of life and joy. Strengthen the resolve of your church throughout the world, especially the ELCA's partnerships with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania and the Lutheran World Federation. Guide the Catholic Church's synod on synodality, that it might lead to a more open church and be ever present in ecumenical dialogue, that your will for the church universal might be realized as together we press on toward the goal of your heavenly call in Jesus Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all compassion, in Christ, you lovingly poured yourself out like wine for your people. Have mercy on all who mourn, who struggle with their mental health, who cry out for justice, who hunger, and all in any need, especially Virginia, Caleb, Liam, Nancy, Jim, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Give them encouragement and consolation in your presence. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all the earth, you desire peace and justice between the nations and peoples, and yet we continue to resist your will. And in places like Ukraine, in Israel, and Gaza, we continue to forfeit lives and blood in exchange for land and territory. Guide leaders of nations that they value all life and faithfully govern your people with a wisdom, integrity, and compassion that leads to conflicts being resolved at tables instead of on battlefields. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of all steadfastness, you set Christ as the cornerstone and foundation of the church. Build up First Lutheran as living stones, that it stands in the community as a witness to your enduring faithfulness and love. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Gracious God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your unending love and amazing grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say,
Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not to temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This bread has been broken, and this wine has been poured out for all. All poor and weary sinners, come, eat and drink, be gathered into one and be restored.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word, Jesus Christ, the joy and delight of our hearts. Strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a few announcements. Oh, stop. The high schooler over here is complaining about how long the service is. Imagine that. Oh, anyway. All right. So for the month of October, we will be collecting the noisy offering will be collected for Lutheran World Relief. So please prayerfully consider donating to that. CCSG continues to need donations of diapers and wipes and toothpaste and all kinds of other stuff. So there's a bin in the back for that. Spooktacular, you get to where I get to dress up as like a crayon or a box of crayons or something. It's going to be great, but we do need candy for that. So you can also donate that towards the back. This week we have First Supper, so please come and enjoy a meal and some fellowship, or sign up. I think there's a list of things that we need for that, so you can sign up to help, or you can sign up to bring something for that, so please consider that. Committee night, if you are on a committee, please show up here for some fellowship on Thursday. At 5:30, downstairs, we will feed you and we'll have fellowship for a half an hour. And then we'll have committee meetings starting at 6, and then we have church council, boo, at 7. Sorry, I love church council, my bad. It's great. Finally, at the door on the way out, there is a little red flyer. It talks about my ordination, which is next Saturday. So next Sunday, I will have one of those fancy stoles over my shoulder. This is your last Sunday of being presided over by Sean the Vicar. So next Sunday, you will have Sean the pastor, and the only difference you'll see is the stole. Everything else will be the same. So, and then just a quick reminder, if you would like to stay for the adult education, we had that in here last week. I think we're going to move it up to the room formerly known as the library. Now, maybe we'll call it the adult ed room. Anyway, please join us for that. So, with that, unless there's other announcements, the tables. All right. Ron said we're all too old to carry, not Ron though, but everyone else is too old to carry the big heavy wooden tables. So if you would like one of those big heavy wooden tables for your house, a suggested donation of $5 and you can have as many of them as you want for $5 each suggested donation. Is that about right? Leave the plastic ones, please and thank you. But that would be after Tuesday, because we got to get all the stuff picked out, up, and sent out, which, gosh, the more I talk, the more announcements I have. I'm very sorry. Thank you all so very, very much for your involvement in the rummage sale and bake sale. I know that we have collected over $1,000 to stay with First Lutheran's missions and to stay in the community with those missions, so that's awesome. We will probably have a firm number next Sunday to share with you all, but thank you so much for making that a success for everyone who volunteered and brought stuff in and anything else. So With that, please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Now go in peace, tend the vineyard, and bear fruit that will last.